everybody. Thanks for joining us. Time to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County. Powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center with the most innovative guy I know, John Gutierrez.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Senior Vice President here at the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, John Gutierrez. So excited to have another amazing guest with us here on the show. Her name is Elizabeth Almeida. She is the founder of Building Bodies University, corporate wellness specialist, also the founder of Legends Rise Youth Academy. And she is also part of Shelly Padilla State Farm Insurance, which is a licensed insurance producer. And she's one of our superstar ambassadors here at the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hola, hola. Can you guys see me over there on Facebook? Apparently, I am matching, so you just might be able to see my head.
I know. I think you're blending in with the orange background, but it's okay.
I'm camouflage.
I think we're good. I think we're good, you know. Thank you so much for being here, Elizabeth. We really appreciate all you do in the community. And so as you know, and you've probably seen the show, we like to first and foremost go into a little bit about you sharing with us before we go into the community stuff you're doing and all the fun business stuff you're doing in the community with the chamber and everyone else. We want you to share with us a little bit about who you are, just where you're from, your hobbies, your life, family. Share a little bit with everybody about who is Elizabeth.
All right. Before I dive into who is Elizabeth Almeida, dun, 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 I just want to shine some light on you and say thank you for everything that you do for the community. Thank you for podcast and the amazing individuals that you have here, because you're sharing so much wisdom, so much knowledge to everyone out there listening. So thank you for that. And it's truly an honor to be here.
Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias. Thank you. We're excited to have you. But today is not about me. It's about you, Elizabeth. So tell us a little bit about you, please. Where'd you grow up?
All right. Let's see. Let me try to give you the CNN version, short version of who's Elizabeth Almeida. Okay. So I grew up in L.A., in Los Angeles, Huntington Park, okay. HP.
That's right. Ruben Franco is also from our president.
Yes, Ruben.
Of our chamber.
If you know, you know. So I grew up in Huntington Park, born and raised out there.
What was it like back then? I mean, Huntington Park.
Oh, man.
Was it chill? Was it like tough neighborhood?
Gangs. When you're in those neighborhoods, low income and everything that we were going through, you don't know.
Yeah,
because you've never gone out of that. So you don't know what you don't know. I mean, gangs, fights, drugs. We lived right next to Salt Lake Park, which was the major park out in HP. Our house is right here and the park was right next door. And I would remember helping my mom wash the dishes, and I could look over, I put a chair, look over as I was washing dishes, and I could just see deals happening or fights happening. Wow. And it was just normal.
Maybe that's where you built your toughness.
Yeah, it is actually.
Because you're tough.
I am.
Which we'll go into.
You can't forget where you came from. It builds you. It really, really does build you. But, you know, so I grew up in HP and I have a huge family, Mexican, 5 sisters, 3 brothers. And
really?
Yeah, 9.
Wow.
I'm the youngest of the hen house, guys. Youngest of the hen house.
The youngest.
Yep.
Like
I'm the 9th.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm the youngest
La
one too.
Chiquita.
So are you like the most chiquiada, they say? Like when you're the youngest, you had to put up with more? What is it like?
No, honestly, my parents were equal with everybody.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
no good. One was preferred more, loved more, or anything like that. Everyone was equal at home. We all helped out, whether it be, you know, cooking, helping my mom, cleaning, whatever it was. You know, we didn't have a lot, but we did have a lot.
Yes.
In the sense of we had so much love, and that's our parents loved us unconditionally. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, my parents instilled in me. Like, you love to your core unconditionally, and you work hard no matter what. Like, whatever life brings at you, you tackle it. You get back up. Those are the foundations that I gained from my parents, and I get to do that.
Shout out to the parents.
Yes. Whoop, whoop. Everybody. Yes.
My wife is also from a family of 9, and she says that growing up, they would take them a lot to the park. because it was like the less expensive kind of form of let's get out and do something. Yeah. I don't know if Huntington Park has parks.
I didn't have a pool. That's probably why I can't swim. I didn't have a pool. So what we would do, John, okay. It's so funny you're saying that right now, but okay. We would turn on the sprinklers.
Nice. I remember those days. Yes.
We would turn on the sprinklers and, you know, sprinklers go in there. Like, yes.
That's the form of a pool.
Yeah. And we would like hop over, get wet. Yes. Yay. Hop over. Yes. But that was fun. Nowadays, what do you see the kids on social media, on their phones, or stuck like glue on there, right? It's very different, but we didn't go out much.
We would put the sprinklers in the sheets, and we have a slip and slide.
Yep. I don't think maybe once or twice that I can really remember we went to the beach.
Okay.
But I was a bit older.
It's an expensive thing to do. Go to the
beach.
You
have 9 kids?
Exactly. Think about it.
My mom was a stay-at-home mommy.
Did you guys have like a station wagon? Because we had a station wagon growing up.
I don't know. We had a truck or something like that.
Yeah, because it fit 9. That's a big group.
Yeah, we had a pickup truck, the camper in the back.
Oh, everybody in the back. Jump in the back, right?
Everybody in the back. Yes. No seat belts. No, nothing. I tell my daughters now. I was like... Right now, I was like, okay, are you ready? Okay, seatbelts, let's go. Back then, it was like, vámonos.
You're bouncing everywhere in the back with the 9 kids.
Let's go. But you know what? I did enjoy my childhood.
That's great.
And I loved it. It was chaos sometimes.
It's so important, right, to have a good childhood because I know that we'll go into, of course, you love mentoring the younger generation, right?
I do.
And so it's interesting that you talk about your parents, your upbringing. What high school did you go to?
HP. Was born and raised in Huntington Park, and I went to that elementary, to the middle school, and to the high school. And once I was done with college, with high school, by the way, I hated school. And the only reason why I started doing better was because I wanted to get out of HP.
Really?
So my last year, I was like, all right, I get it together.
Yes.
Because that 2.0 was not going to get me really far. So I had to raise that up.
Where'd you end up transitioning to? What school?
So I ended up going to San Jose State for about a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, came back home, went to Cerritos College for a semester.
Nice.
And then from there, I got classically trained to sing. Now I just sing in the shower, so don't ask me to sing.
To sing?
Yeah.
I never knew this.
Yeah.
Really?
Now I just sing in the shower, so don't ask me, okay? Yeah, no.
So we're not going to ask you to sing right now.
No.
There's a microphone on.
No.
Paul, do we have any music we can play?
No.
We can get a whole orchestral stuff.
No.
What music do you want to play?
I shouldn't have said that, but it was part of my journey.
Was it?
Yeah, so Cerritos College for a semester because I wanted to get into Chapman University.
That's right.
So somebody wants to know, what did you sing? Was this like classical singing?
Was this pop singing? No, it was classical opera music.
Really? Opera? Wow.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I know.
Wow, that is some
But it was
vocals.
Fun. I learned a lot. I learned a lot. Not just the music portion of it, but body, singing, posture.
That's true.
Talking.
You ended up at Chapman University, which is a great university. We have a board member who's part of Chapman.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes. What was that like at Chapman University? Beautiful campus.
I got accepted there to the School of Music, and I was a minority.
What is that, a minority, Elizabeth?
Latina. Predominantly Caucasian.
Did you feel out of place? Was that tough for you?
At first, I did. I will be honest.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I did. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I didn't belong, but I knew I belonged.
Yes.
Because I wanted to be that change. I wanted other people, other students, other kids, you know, my future kids to see. Like, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter, you know, your settings or the family that you grew up in or those opportunities or non-opportunities you had. It doesn't matter. It's what you do moving forward.
Exactly.
And I became that. So every single time I drive by Chapman, I'm like, ah, yes, it's Latina. Went there.
Yeah. And you know, Chapman University, it's considered one of the, you know, really tough universities to go and be there. I mean, it's got such a great reputation. So kudos to you for doing that.
Yes.
So you got done with college. And what happened after that? What was your next step aside from being a famous singer?
Nope.
My dad, you wanted to be?
No, mira, nada más. Aquí con el singer. I transitioned to teaching. So I went in there as a minor in voice and left as a peace studies major. Reason being is because a lot of the credits that were from San Jose State didn't transfer over, at least to the teaching credentialing program. So I ended up doing that. But straight out of Chapman, I ended up working for a nonprofit organization. Okay. I was working for this program, after school program, that worked with kids. So if you know the hours between 3 and 6 p.m., that's when things usually start happening. That's when a lot more kids are tentative to get into trouble or getting into gangs, because a lot of parents are either still working, they're not home, and the kids are alone. So
what city was this in?
Riverside.
Riverside. Okay. Riverside.
Yeah. So I started a program, a pilot at one of the schools in Riverside, and I oversaw 100 students, 5 teachers in that program. And then I kind of just went up the ladder.
Like a team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then when I went up the ladder in that, and then I oversaw 8 middle schools within the Jurupa Unified School District, Riverside District.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it.
Wow.
And I knew I don't want to be in the classroom. Yeah. There's something much more. I wanted to run my own show. I wanted to do things the way I wanted to. I think teaching is amazing. And seriously, kudos to the teachers, because you go through a lot and you're literally helping our kids, our next generation.
Kudos to all the teachers out there.
Seriously.
Yes. Shout out to them.
Because I was in the classroom for a little bit and I was like, ay Dios mío.
Well, you know, putting together curriculum is very tough. I know, because I was in that industry when I just got out of college, and it's a lot of work. So you're running this after school program and you found the fire, the inspiration, right?
Mm-hmm. No, so I loved it, and I knew that I wanted to do things a little bit different. I always associate it more with older kids, with the youth, with either middle school or in high school. And I'm like, man, I was that kid. I was a rebellious. I was the one that was ditching. I did not like school.
You ditching? No.
Yeah. I tell my daughters, I was like, look, all right, you do that, I am 10 steps ahead of you, girl. Don't forget where I came from. I came from L.A., But I hated school, and I figured and found out that I can associate with these kids, with these students. Yes. It's giving them hope and opportunity to be better and do better. We have choices in life. We really, really do. And me having 2 kids, I have a 14-year-old daughter who's just in high school. Jeez, I have a high school girl. And a 10-year-old. So for me, I...
Shout out to them.
Shout out to my babies. Boop, boop. They don't think I'm cool, but I think I'm cool. Want to make sure that I'm that example for them.
Exactly.
As, you know, as a woman, and I have 2 little girls that are always watching me. If you're parents out there, even if you're not parents or you're godparents, you know that there's kids watching your every single move, and they will mimic, because they are like sponges.
Of course.
They will mimic you every single thing that you do. So I knew through that one day that I was going to have my foundation. I knew one day that I was going to build a program that was going to be beyond different, and I was going to be in the classroom. I knew there was a problem, and I was going to find a solution.
That's great.
So that's how I came about with my Legends Rise Academy.
Okay, tell us about that.
So I became a life coach as well through the pandemic. I was like, there's much more. Okay, my businesses kind of had to stop for my corporate, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yes, yes, because I know you were doing corporate wellness.
Yes, so, but through that, through the pandemic, I became a life coach.
That's great.
Something that I've always wanted to do.
That's great. You pivoted.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people during that shutdown, again, you were doing corporate wellness, right? And then that all shuts down.
Yep.
That's great that you found another opportunity in life coaching.
There's always great opportunities in crisis.
Exactly.
And people always think, this is happening to me, instead of this is happening for me.
Exactly.
Maybe there's something greater and bigger.
Can you repeat
and better.
That one more time?
Which part? Saying?
You said, this is happening to me.
Yes.
As opposed to, this is happening for me.
A lot of people.
I love that quote.
A lot of people have the mentality, whoa, this is me. Whoa. You know, things are happening to me. I wish things were different, blah, blah, blah. Instead of, what about it's happening for you?
Exactly.
You know, I think everything that comes our way, and we don't even know what battles we're dealing with. You know, so many people, the greatest CEOs, the greatest people out there, are walking around with these smiles, John, on their faces. And behind those smiles, there's so much pain. We don't know what they're going through. Mental health, which is why I also created that, mental health, emotional, physical, everything, the pandemic put it out there.
Oh, yes.
Even more so.
Exactly.
So I knew, I was like, I want people to be able to know, hey, you have to become aware of your feelings, your emotions, what's going on in here. in order to be able to flourish in every aspect of your life. And for me, fitness became that. Fitness is literally an inside job. It's not just working
out. Show them the guns, Elizabeth.
Show you the guns.
Just so you guys know, Elizabeth works out, I mean, religiously.
Yeah.
Or great genes. and that's hard to do, right? Like, it's hard to stay motivated. How do you do that? Where do you find that motivation? Obviously, you have great energy. Where do you find that? What do you think drives you?
I'm going to tell you something. And I teach this to my students, and I was teaching this too for my corporate wellness companies, is motivation is going to be short term. It's not going to last. But your discipline is what's going to keep you going. If you don't know your why, how are you supposed to know how to move forward?
So have a plan in place?
You have to know your what. What's your purpose? Okay. Why do you get up every single day to grind and hustle? There has to be a bigger purpose than you.
What's your why?
My daughters. And then I do not want to die and meet my maker, and for my maker to show me all this list of all the things and purpose and everything that he had for me, and I accomplished nothing.
Exactly.
I want to leave a legacy, not just for me, but for my daughters and then for others, that everyone that I get to talk to and I get to speak with, that I hope that at least one thing that I say today will shift and change your perspective and become more aware of who you are, and that you get to know you. If I can change that, we're good.
You hear that? Know your why. That's very important.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that why is, come see Elizabeth.
Call
me. She can help you find that why. And we may smile about it, but there's a lot of people dealing with that on a daily basis. They're not sure what their why is, right? What they should be doing, and they're maybe all over the place. So let's really quickly go back to your corporate wellness, because mm-hmm. I know we only have about 5 to 10 minutes to go. Paul, give me some leeway here, Paul. So tell us a little bit about the corporate wellness that you were doing, and then how you ended up with at the chamber. Let's go into that, of course.
It all links in together. But my corporate wellness is, I used to come from a company. I worked for a 9-to-5 job, and I always loved working out, eating better, and being healthy. But because the work and the job that I had was so demanding, I was tired. I didn't want to go home and change and go work out. Like, I just wanted to drive by somewhere, get some food, go home, see my babies, eat, and then just go to sleep, right? And I knew if we changed that, if we gave people hope at their companies, on site, there's no excuses. No excuses. So I created a program for big organizations or small, doesn't matter how big your company is, where I come on site and I do a on-site wellness program, whether it be lunch and learns, whether it be on-site fitness classes, whatever that looks like for the particular company, nutrition consultations. I'm a life coach now, so life coaching comes into play. And I created that program for them. And I'm going to tell you, John, I had multiple people come and talk to me and say, Coach, I didn't feel like coming to work today. Yes. I had a really bad day yesterday. Yes. And I was going to call off. And I didn't call off because I knew you guys were going to be here.
Wow.
And I
That's great.
Wish that more organizations, more companies would instill in having an on-site wellness program for their people, because especially now with the pandemic, and I see it, depression, mm-hmm. anxiety, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's suicide.
Exactly.
I mean, everything emotional, spiritual, everything is tanking. And having that in a company is huge.
Well,
it's a game changer.
I think you and I have talked about this in the past. It's also part of like the whole body, mind,
yeah.
and spirit, right? And you need all those three components to be constantly, hopefully being pushed.
Yeah.
Or motivated, right? And so that's great that you bring that to the table. I feel like you bring that to our chamber, to be honest. You bring this great energy at the golf tournament, at Estrella Awards, whatever event you come out to as an ambassador now, one of our official ambassadors, Sylvia, our chair from Chase Bank, of course, officially said, hey, we need to make these young ladies or these people ambassadors, of course. And I know at the golf tournament, she recruited many of you.
Honored.
Elizabeth, Diana, a bunch of you. How did you end up at the chamber? How, you know, what does the chamber mean to you now?
Because of you.
Well, not just me. I mean,
if you guys know John, John brings everyone together. You really do. You have that gift.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where you bring people together and the energies and everything. And that's why we're here and we get to network and we get to meet incredible people that are here for the same common goal to impact, change, you know, the community or each other.
Well, I just try to invite people to be part of the platform that our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce offers. And of course, there, I think, is where you met a dear friend of mine, Araceli Padilla,
Shelly Padilla,
with State Farm, right?
Yes.
And I think you also do some work with her, right?
I do. So because obviously, you know, I met you and then through that, I met Shelly Padilla. A little shout out to my girl and because I love it. Yes. So if you guys need anything, please, please let us know. It's been a true honor to be part of Shelly's tribe. Honestly, it's been about a year.
Shelly's tribe.
Shelly's tribe. Yes.
I like that.
The tribe of women, like, because in the office.
Real quick, everybody listening out here, just so you know, Shelly's tribe. Come see Elizabeth and be part of Shelly's tribe. I like that. That's a great marketing, like, slogan, right?
Yeah, we got you. We got your back. State Farm, Shelly, and the tribe. We got you.
And I see how there you've incorporated your health and wellness and all that. That's awesome.
We have. And I can't even stress to tell you how important it is to be able to, as a unit in the office, to be able to plug away because we're always like this, right? 24/7. And yes. If you're able to get away and at the office, literally 35 minutes, we do a workout and I kick your butt. Yes. Right? 35 minutes. And
but
then,
I've seen Alexis and the girls. I mean, they love it. They really enjoy it.
It's a mental thing. Yes. So when you work on you and you move your body, you're going to feel better. You're going to make better decisions.
Yeah. What is it? The endorphins, right?
The dopamine levels. You release that. You feel better, right? And then you're going to be better at work. You're going to be more pleasant on the phone. I mean, when you go home, all that, it all links up together. It's the mindset. It's the physical health portion of it. You know, you have to really condition all portions of all that. So with State Farm, with my corporate wellness companies, and then also my youth academy with the kids, and that I help the teachers there as well.
That's awesome.
Man, my cup is being filled constantly.
Well, I think that whatever you have that you're eating and drinking every day that gives you that motivation, I gotta say, it's bottle it, sell it, because we all wish we had your drive and your energy, Elizabeth.
You can have it. I'm gonna tell you three things you wanna do. Faith, because you can't do things alone. Two, move your body 10-15 minutes a day. And then three, gratitude.
Gratitude, yes.
The act of gratitude. If you're grateful for where you at, everything is good.
Elizabeth, I'm so sorry. Paul's giving me the eye, the evil eye, you know, the producer. This has been so much fun. We really appreciate having you. Again, folks, Elizabeth Almeida, founder of Building Bodies University, corporate wellness specialist. She's the founder of Legends Rise Youth Academy. And of course, she's part of the Shelly Padilla State Farm Insurance, licensed insurance producers there. And of course, she's one of our Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce superstar ambassadors. We just want to say thank you so much for everything you do in the community. Thank you for being on our show today. Mm-hmm. I know it goes by really, really fast. Yeah. Hopefully there's some good information that everybody has out there. Reach out to Elizabeth. Reach out to us at the Chamber. Real quick announcement. We do have a breakfast mixer. Not this Friday. Next Friday at Villa Roma Restaurant. 9:00 a.m. in the morning. So anybody who's willing and wishing to be part of it, it's a free breakfast mixer. Come out, meet Elizabeth, meet some of our other ambassadors that are going to be there, and some of our board members, of course. Enjoy being part of our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Learn more about our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, of course. So with that, thank you very much, Elizabeth, for being here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here and have a conversation.
Yes. Visit us at OCHCC.com and also visit us at our Instagram at OCHCC, and also go to our Facebook page and follow us there so you can get involved with everything we're doing in the community, folks. Again, our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, because our community is your community. Have a great day, everyone.
Well, there you have it. That's not a dynamic reason to come and watch dynamic duos like this have a conversation I don't know what is. Join us each and every week as we meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County. Powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.